Our first reading is from Jeremiah, chapter 28, verses 5 to 9. A reading from Jeremiah. The prophet Jeremiah spoke to the prophet Hananiah in the presence of the priests and all the people who were standing in the house of the Lord. And the prophet Jeremiah said, Amen. May the Lord do so. May the Lord fulfill the words that you have prophesied and bring back to this place from Babylon the vessels of the house of the Lord and all the exiles. But listen now to this word that I speak in your hearing and in the hearing of all the people. The prophets who preceded you and me from ancient times prophesied war, famine, and pestilence against many countries and great kingdoms. As for the prophet who prophesies peace, when the words of that prophet come true, then it will be known that the Lord has truly sent the prophet, the word of the Lord. Our psalm is Psalm 89, verses 1 to 4 and 15 to 18. Your love, O Lord, forever will I sing. From age to age my mouth will proclaim your faithfulness. For I am persuaded that your steadfast love is established forever. You have set your faithfulness firmly in the heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn an oath to David my servant. I will establish your line forever and preserve your throne for all generations. Happy are the people who know the festal shout. They walk, O Lord, in the light of your presence. They rejoice daily in your name. They are jubilant in your righteousness. For you are the glory of their strength, and by your favor our might is exalted. Truly our shield belongs to the Lord, our King to the Holy One of Israel.
Our gospel reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 10, verses 40 to 42. The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to the 12, Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. The Gospel of the Lord. Our sermon this morning, written by the Reverend Dr. Sid Hagen. Greetings to you all gathered on this Sunday, June 28th. Perhaps with some provincial reopenings, you will be gathering in your worship spaces again this Sunday. More likely, though, you will be gathered unusually in your family rooms or living rooms as you have been since March. This is not normal for us, but after several months it is starting to feel like something we do, a sort of new normal for now. I must say that I have been so impressed with our churches working it out in this pandemic time. I wonder if any of us expected that our churches would adapt so well to this new world we find ourselves in. For years we have said and sung, the church is not a building, the church is the people. But during COVID, deprived of physically worshiping together, we have rediscovered just that. The church is the people gathered round Jesus. In this time, we are not always gathered in a building, but rather we are gathering virtually through media or through a phone call from a pastor or from another member of the church community or through an action to love the world. We have rediscovered that we are a movement, a people not defined by a building, but by the gospel of Jesus. The text this week is the word of Jesus to such a people. In that day, the church gathered together, also without a worship space, as they journeyed in Galilee, listening to their rabbi, their beloved teacher, Jesus of Nazareth. I would center with you on the text of the day. I would invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 10 in your Bibles, wherever you may gather. Today, I invite you first to walk with me through the narrative of the Gospel of Matthew to our text for this Sunday in Matthew chapter 10. Second, to pause a moment to listen for God's words to us today. Then I will close. Let us pray. May these words of my mouth and the meditations and imaginations of our hearts and minds be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We have been following Matthew's gospel this year since late November. Each of the gospels, of course, tells the story of Jesus. Each gospel, each story is like a painting. The gospel writers paint the portrait of Jesus artfully, with different details, with different highlights, just as portraits try not simply to record something, but to bring out what the person's life means. Matthew's gospel, in particular, is often called the gospel of the church. It has been used as a sort of handbook for the church about matters of instruction. It is, significantly, the gospel in which Jesus directly says to Peter, "On this rock I will build my church." Jesus has come to build a church, not a building, but something more priceless, an ecclesia, a movement, a community. As you page back in Matthew's gospel from our text in chapter 10, already by chapter 4, Jesus has begun to call the church together. While he was walking by the seashore, he saw some fishermen: Andrew, James, John, and Peter. Yes, Pete the fisherman in a muscle shirt, a tattoo of the name of a girl he once loved on his bicep. It seemed like a good idea at the time. Later, others would join the church: Martha the caterer, Thomas the thinker, Mary the listener, and of course there was Simon the zealot, Simon the radical, wearing a black leather jacket with "Black Lives Matter" painted boldly in block letters across his shoulders. What does Jesus do with this gathered church? Early in the narrative, around chapter 5, he takes them up on the hill and he teaches them. "Blessed are the poor, blessed are the merciful, blessed are the peacemakers." In the sermon, he turned to the little church gathered and said, "Know this, you are the light of the world. You, church, will bring light where you live. You are the salt of the earth. You will bring the best out of the world in which you live." They must have looked at each other and thought, "Her? Him?" Or more deeply, "You mean me? Really?" For several chapters, he would continue to preach. "You have heard it said, love your friends, hate your enemies. I say to you, pray for your enemies." Or he would teach them to pray like this: "Our Father in heaven." After the sermon, the church would follow him across Galilee as he brought healing to people broken in mind, body, or spirit. He blessed those who so needed a blessing. Throughout the chapter in Galilee, the church would watch and listen. Our text today in chapter 10 is about halfway through the 1 year of Jesus' ministry. In Matthew 10, Jesus sends the church out to learn, not just by watching and listening. Now they would need to learn how to be church by doing. His instructions begin disturbingly. He says, "Go only to the lost sheep of Israel." stay away from the Samaritans. While that may have sounded about right for his church that didn't have any use for the Samaritans, it became a difficult saying for the church during the time of the Acts of the Apostles. Some would say the text says the gospel is just for the Jews. Others at that time would say, but if the gospel is only for the Jews, then why does the Spirit seem to be calling Gentiles in the church? This church would need to learn new ways. It still does. But back to the narrative. Jesus' instructions to the church continued. He said, as you go, proclaim that the kingdom of heaven is close at hand. Proclaim it. You are not selling anything. You are not sent out to say, if you buy our product, if you would only follow Jesus the way we do, God will love you and bless you. No, you are proclaiming the good news of the gospel for everyone. That God so loved the world. Then Jesus gives more specific directions. He said, cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. He is listing the exact things they have watched Jesus do in the first chapters of the narrative. They are to do the work of Jesus in the world. They too are to heal those broken in mind or body or spirit with everything they are and with everything they are not yet. Then, just before his church is going to take the field, Jesus, like any good coach, speaks of what lies ahead. When you go into a town, into a house, he said, when they welcome you, give them your peace. Then he adds, when they don't receive you, won't listen to you, just move along. Look, I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. This is not going to be easy. Then Jesus speaks with eyes looking far into the future. He lays out the different future of the church beyond this short chapter about the mission of the 12. Be prepared, he says, for being whipped in public for following me. Be prepared for being brought to trial for following me. Be prepared that families will be divided over me. Be prepared even for this. You will universally be hated on account of my name. You have to wonder how the little church took it, don't you? I wonder if they whispered to each other, I don't know if we are up to this. Then Jesus adds this to this tiny little group of fishermen and tax collectors, of academics and radicals, broken, beautiful human beings. He says, do not be afraid of them. They can only hurt your body, not your soul. Not the you that is you, deep, deep within. Do not be afraid. Then he says, if anyone gives so much as a cup of cold water to one of these little ones because he is a disciple, then in truth I tell you, he will most certainly not go without his reward. Whoever gives this little band, or even one little one among them, a cup of water, will be blessed. Then he sends them out to heal and to bless in Jesus' name. He still does. Now, let's step back from the narrative for a moment and take it in. It is not an easy narrative to hear, is it? The trials of this little church are so daunting. Nor did the trials stop with the pressure from outside the church. A few chapters later in Matthew 18, Jesus told them, when a member of the church sins against you, then go to him and humbly state your case. This is not an if, but a when. When a member of the church sins against you, the church will not only have to deal with pressure from outside, but also with issues inside the community. To this community facing this array of struggles ahead, I hear one word emerging for the church in our day. That the church, this gathering of followers of Jesus by all its names, in all its complexity, with all its difficulties, is dear to God's heart. Jesus says to his church, "Do not be afraid of the powers of the world, not of war, not of violence, not of death itself." Then there is a saying about the cup of cold water. Usually that text comes with a call for us to give a cup of cold water, to be generous. Of course, a quite lovely message, but that's not quite what this text is about. Listen again. "If anyone gives so much as a cup of cold water to one of these little ones, because he is a disciple, then in truth I tell you, he will most certainly not go without his reward." Jesus is saying that this church, this little gathering of followers that Jesus has come to build, is so loved by God that anyone who gives even a cup of water to the least and the last and the littlest of this band will be blessed. Isn't that something? So let me close with this. This church, not the building but the community, the movement, this church is beloved by Jesus and blessed by God. So people of God, love this church. Love this gathering of people who follow Jesus with you. Love it not because it's perfect, not because the people are perfect, not because the bishops or pastors or leaders are perfect, not because the community always gets it right. Love the church because Jesus loves it, in all of its strength and in all of its frailty. Love it in all the ways you can love a church. Show up to worship, in person or otherwise. Support the church with your time and with whatever gifts you have to give. Pray for its bishops and pastors and leaders. And give one cup of cold water to one of the least, the lost, and the littlest. It is breathtaking, isn't it? We are part of a community, a movement, a church that Jesus came to build. How cool is that? Amen. We will now sing our hymn of the day, "The Church of Christ in Every Age," which is found in the ELW number 729, or you can watch it on the YouTube link that is posted.